last week I was like on tour. I spent 20 hours driving all over Ohio talking to different places. Mm-hmm. And I work from home, so I don't drive a ton. And now I was listening to all these podcasts, and I was amazed how many times I had to ride the volume knob because somebody would be talking and then somebody would come in and they're a much lower volume. And then normally, even in a quiet room, you might be able to get away with that, but not when there's now noise from the tires and the atmosphere. And I was just like, wow, there's a lot of really bad audio out there. And there are tools. There's Alphonic. There's all sorts of things you can do to make things level. And that's the other one besides the whole, you know, reverb room and, you know, the dog barking and things like that. Some of the stuff you can't avoid, you know, kids are not really that, you know, a 3-year-old doesn't care that daddy's recording a podcast, but you can still, you know, try to, you know, bribe them with cookies or something to yeah. be quiet
do while the best you're recording. You can.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Dave Jackson.
There's a lot of different reasons, I think, why people podcast. And the... You know, some of those issues maybe crop up because of different reasons for people doing the podcast.
Sure.
So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack when you start this kind of thing. But if, I mean, you've probably been asked this question a million times, but like if someone was just starting from scratch right now, what would you suggest their first thing to do should be?
Oh, well, first of all, and you mentioned it earlier, like, why am I doing this? Is it to position myself as an expert? Is it part of a marketing plan of my company? Is it cheap therapy, which it is at times? You know, I just want to get the word out. I'm creative and I want to do my art, man, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
So you got all those reasons. And then who is this for? So if I say, because sometimes, oh, it's for everybody. I'm like, nope, that's not an acceptable answer. But then you're like, oh, you know what? It's for widows. And you go, oh, okay, we just cut out 50% of the audience. But even widows, there's a big difference between, you know, Jill, who lost her husband at 38, and Mildred, who lost her husband at 97. There's a big difference between those people. So when you figure out, like, really, who is this for? The hard part then is, okay, what can I talk about that's going to hold their attention but still get them towards my why? Because so many people start off and they get so focused, and it's a good thing. They're so focused on their listener that they're giving them exactly what they want, but they ignore, oh, by the way, I want to grow my email list, or I want to, whatever it is, the goal is. And so that's why you have a lot of podcasters that get to about episode 7 and they run out of gas because they've completely forgotten about their why, and they're not seeing any light at the end of the tunnel, and so they quit. So you have to, what am I going to talk about that's going to hold that person's attention while at the same time moving them ever be so slowly towards my why? And the one thing that I think most podcasters skip is you want somebody to listen to the show. And then, you know, if they listen to the whole thing, great. If they didn't listen to the whole thing, that's also okay. We need to know that. Why did you stop? And, you know, how far did you get? And then the big one is on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is, I'm going to tell everybody, how likely are you to share this with a friend? And if they give you 6 or 7, it's not, we're looking for 9s and 10s and maybe an 8. Mm-hmm. And so when we get below that, and that's where, again, if the goal of this is really, I want to grow this audience and make it big, you want it to where people are going, oh, this was amazing. I got to tell my friends. And that's the part that's not always super simple or easy, but it takes a little work. But so is writing, so is acting, so is singing. You know, you totally. Usually don't, you know, I always say authors have a rough draft. In my case, when I wrote my book, I had 5 that basically they just kept editing and editing and editing, you know, and then actors have dress rehearsals, athletes have preseason. So that first thing you record may not be the best thing ever. So it takes a few times to get it the way you want it.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely get that. I mean, I'm still learning. This is 4 years in, a little over 4 years. So, yeah, I mean, you start from whatever you have, and then you learn along the way. And you listen to other podcasts and you maybe incorporate things that you hear that you like from them, which I think is totally legit as well.
Absolutely. We call that being inspired.
Yes.
You know, you inspired me to try that. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So then I also want to ask you what changes you've seen over the years, because you've been doing this a long time. So changes that you've seen over the years that you might want to talk about, and also changes maybe that you've seen since the pandemic that maybe have been different than what you thought you might have expected.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing is, you know, I have a piece of equipment here called the Zoom PodTrack P4, and this goes for like $200. For those of us that remember them, it's about the size of a checkbook. It's really tiny. And I have something similar to this in my closet that I paid $800 for. And so things have gotten really cheap, and things are now designed for podcasters, where before it was like, oh, you can take this musical mixer and kind of tweak it a bit and use it for that. So that's probably one of the things that just the technology and all the resources available now. There's, you know, back then there was Libsyn, now there's Libsyn and Captivate and Blueberry and all these other different media hosts. And if you probably by the time we're done with this interview, there will be yet another piece of AI where you just upload your audio and it will, you know, it'll make a newsletter for you. It'll transcribe it. It'll do your laundry. It slices, it dices, it juliennes. There's just another one of those out there. And since the pandemic, it's interesting because right now the number of people, because everybody made a podcast in the pandemic. I'm bored. If I have to, you know, teach my third grader math again, I'm going to lose my brain. And so people started a podcast. Again, it's the best $7 therapy you know money can buy. But since then, people are still making podcasts, but not as on a, what would it be? Not at the rate they were during the pandemic. So, but the number of listeners is still going up. So what happens now is we have less people making new content, but more listeners. And I'm like, this is like the best time to start a podcast because the audience, you know, the listening audience is going up, but the number of people making podcasts is actually kind of flat right now and maybe even dipping just a little bit.
And so, yeah, people are finding out more about podcasts in general. I mean, it's much more of a going concern at the moment. It's even in popular media. So, you know, Only Murders in the Building, I'm thinking of, and, you know, like other shows that mention podcasting specifically, you actually find advertising out there in the real world for advertising for podcasts. It's it's really interesting. And a lot of big names getting into it.
But that's the other fun thing is even the big names, like everybody thinks if I just talk into a microphone, money will fall from heaven. And I talked with Rob Greenlee, who's a friend of mine, and he worked at Podcast One for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And they had a number of celebrity people that just started a podcast. And they thought, well, like one was Kathy Lee Gifford. And she was like, I'll just talk in. I'm Kathy. Don't you know me? I'm Kathy Lee Gifford. And I remember Amy Schumer's podcast. Now I realize why Amy's wasn't that good because she was like 8 months pregnant at the time. So she gets a pass. But I've seen now there was a documentary on her. She was recording it literally in like a back porch that was nothing but glass. And I was like, well, that explains why the audio was horrible.
Oh, wow.
And she had just had a horrible pregnancy. And I was like, well, but again, just being famous, you still have to be good. And I think one of my favorites was Andrew Dice Clay, the comedian, because he must have gotten tips or thought he was doing the radio. And he would like, you know, 12 minutes into his podcast, he would do like a callback on the radio. It's like, ah, you're listening to the Dice Man. And I'm like, did you think I jumped in at the 11 minute mark? Like, why? It was the weirdest thing ever. I guess on the other hand, if somebody had, you know, was listening to me on the way to the store and they're listening to Andrew and they get out, when he resets at the 12 minute mark, maybe that would be handy, but it was just, I was like, why is he doing a reset? It's not radio. So
part of his personality. I don't know.
Yeah, you still have to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually speaking of that, how important do you think sound is to a podcast? And I'm asking that not necessarily because I want you to say that you need pristine, perfect audio, but just, you know, what can people do just to make sure that it's the bare minimum, that it doesn't hurt your ears?
Well, number one, today when we started, we wanted my level to be up in the green, kind of occasionally into the yellow. That's number one. If it's way down, you have these little bars when you talk into stuff usually. And if you're just barely making the green stuff blink, you're leaving the door wide open for hiss. And what happens then? Are there tools that can remove the hiss? Yeah, but it's much easier if you just record things right the first way.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah. I know a lot of people love the Blue Yeti microphone, and it's not a bad microphone. Giant asterisk, underline, bold, italics, a question, exclamation point, if you use it properly. But it comes with a little desk stand. And so people will take it and they'll put it about, 2.5 feet away from them. And then it picks up in every direction, and it just sounds like you're in a fishbowl, where I always tell people you should be about 3 finger widths from your microphone, have it pointing kind of at your mouth, but maybe at the corner of your mouth, or so you're kind of talking across it, and that way you don't get plosives. I just had somebody today that asked me, and I forget what just everything had a P and a B in it, and it just was, rattling the tonsils out of my teeth, and I was like, if the answer is, well, we can fix that with a plug-in, which is true in many cases, not in all cases, but I just had somebody that sent me horrendous audio, and I cleaned up all the room verb, and I just made up a new word, room verb. It's not reverb. It's reverb from the room. But anyway.
Sure.
And they had a bunch of plosives, and so I had just this stack of plugins that it would came out. But what normally would have taken about 5 minutes to export the file took about 35 because it was running through all these processes. So, like you said, garbage in, garbage out, or you're going to watch your time just tick, tick away cleaning that stuff up. So I always say more planning equals less editing. And so in that case, if somebody comes in, if you're doing interviews and somebody wants to use the built-in laptop microphone, I just go, no. And they're like, but they're your guest. And I go, yes, but your guest has come in and kind of went poo-poo on the living room carpet. And you wouldn't let somebody do that. You would ask them to leave and just say, look, you're not ready to come on the show yet. Go get yourself a Samson Q2U. It's $70. You'll be fine. So
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky in that this particular podcast, we talk about sound. That's what we talk about. I kind of assume that the people I have on this show know a little bit about good sound and how to be on a podcast. Not always. It doesn't always work out that way, but for the majority, I'm lucky that it does.
I know we're all super busy and pulled in so many different directions these days, so I wanted to take a moment to celebrate and thank the people who have taken the time to review this podcast. Lyrical70 writes, "Great show. This show makes you think about sound in a whole new way. I would never have thought I'd find this so interesting, but I do, and her voice is so soothing." Thanks, Lyrical70. I'm glad I've got you hooked. I hope you'll stick around because there's always more interesting discussions about sound coming up. And speaking of that, let's get back to the show.
The other thing was last week I was on tour. I spent 20 hours driving all over Ohio talking to different places. Mm-hmm. And I work from home, so I don't drive a ton. And now I was listening to all these podcasts, and I was amazed how many times I had to ride the volume knob because somebody would be talking and then somebody would come in and they're a much lower volume. And then normally, even in a quiet room, you might be able to get away with that, but not when there's now noise from the tires and the atmosphere. And I was just like, wow, there's a lot of really bad audio out there. And there are tools. There's Alphonic. There's all sorts of things you can do to make things level. And that's the other one besides the whole, reverb room and, the dog barking and things like that. Some of the stuff you can't avoid, kids are not really... that, a 3-year-old doesn't care that daddy's recording a podcast, but you can still, try to, bribe them with cookies or something to be quiet.
Do the best you can. Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of things to improve the quality there. One of the biggest things that I see, and you mentioned this with the Blue Yeti before, is not being close enough to the mic. Because if you're not close enough to the mic, then you're hearing all of the room reverberation. You're hearing everything around you. And even using the Blue Yeti, all you have to do is change it to cardioid.
Put that bad boy on a stand. I've heard people sound brilliant. And I go, what microphone are you using? They're like, the Blue Yeti. I go, you have it on a stand, don't you? And they're like, yeah, it's I just bring it over when I'm ready to record. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, and it's that, again, that kind of reverb sound, what it does is you go from being the voice in someone's head, right? They're just really there, to now I'm sitting in the room with you. It's just a different dynamic. It's the same way for me when I do a podcast. I don't go, "Hey guys, today we're gonna." I'm like, "Hey, I'm so glad you're here." I talk to one person, and consequently, when I am lucky enough to run into somebody who's listened to my show, they go, "I kind of feel like you're talking to me," and I'm like, "That's because I am."
That's the point. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, this particular mic is a HyperX. So it's it's a mic that is for gamers, actually, but it's nice. A USB cardioid mic, condenser mic, and it's like $100. This is not what I use for voiceover, but that's in the booth behind me. But at the same time, it makes for a very attractive video because I can change that color to anything I want it to be, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it kind of is. Only on PC, though, unfortunately. I think they don't have the software program that comes with this doesn't work properly on a Mac for regulating the actual light inside the LED or whatever it is that's using that.
I never understood why people would change microphones, and I'm like, is your audience complaining about the audio? And they're like, no, I just thought it would take it to a new level or something like that. And then I was at a podcast event called PodFest, and we're at this piano bar, and they're like, get up and play the guitar. So I did, and I was playing somebody else's gear, and it was just not my jam by any means. And that's when the light bulb went off, and I'm like, wait, if I don't like the sound of my voice, I probably would want to change the microphone. So I kind of now get that sometimes it's not so much that, you know, your audio sounds bad. It just sounds bad to you. And if you don't like the way you sound, well, then it might affect how you talk or perform on the microphone or whatever. So I was like, all right, I'll give somebody a pass if they want to swap out the mic. But there does come a time when you're like, you can always fix it in post.
There's only so much upgrading your gear that you can do. I mean, in voiceover, it's the same deal. I know a lot of people who just constantly upgrade everything they possibly can just because, and it doesn't necessarily sound any better. Like it's just, I mean, maybe to them, like you said, you know, and I can get that, but there's a certain point at which it really makes very little difference.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a big difference between a $20 mic and a $100 mic, but there's not that much difference. But like, this is, what am I using today? I'm using the Rode PodMic USB. It's a $200 mic.
Yep.
If I were to plug in my SM7B behind me, which is $400, not a huge amount. There's a difference, but not a huge amount of difference. And so whatever works for you, and as long as I always say, my goal is, you know, listenable. That's really what I'm looking for. When the, when how it sounds is kind of monopolizing your brain because you can't unhear the bacon in the background or whatever's going on, that's a problem.
That makes a lot of sense. Don't do that. What do you think is the future of podcasting? I mean, where are we heading with this? Because
it's already here, part of it. And I kind of snicker at it, but on the other hand, this is as bad as it's going to get. A friend of mine, Mike Russell, has gone in and he has a tool that he reads blogs. And so for those of us that remember blog readers, and he'll go in and say, oh, that's a good article. And he will put a little check mark next to it. Mm-hmm. And to make a long story short, it's like a game of mousetrap. It goes from that to ChatGPT, which puts it out as a Google Doc, which then goes through 11 Labs, which is this weird thing can make a robo voice. And then from there, it goes to his media host. So basically, Mike checks a couple check boxes and a podcast comes out on the other side in the voice of Mike. And I listen to it and I love Mike. It's not really, there's no personal stories. It's just the facts and it's okay. Right. It's like, it's not like my favorite podcast ever. Mm-hmm. And so some people, I'm not against transcripts. In fact, I think we should all should use them, but some people, that's the only thing they use on their website. And if you've ever read an unedited transcript, your brain kind of twitches a little bit because we don't write like we talk and we don't talk like we write. And so by the time I edit a transcript to be readable, I could have just typed out the whole thing, which is what I do. But it's one of those things where, if Google wants words, I'll give it tons of words. Yeah. And it's just this big giant word salad. And I'm like, no, Google wants good words. And so in the same way, just because you can have AI read your podcast, okay, yeah, it's a podcast. Is it a good podcast? You know, on a scale from 1 to 10, how likely are you to share this podcast with a friend? 4, you know, kind of situation. So I think we're going to have to kind of step over that for a while, just in the same way that when, you know, free media hosting came out. And I always said it wasn't the price that was stopping people from starting a podcast. It wasn't that easy. But that's why we have now, you know, a lot of podcasts that just say, check, check, test, is it working? And because it's free, it now lives forever. So, you know, that wasn't the hurdle. And, but we, for a while, we had a lot of really bad podcasts because it was free and, you know, everybody's doing the check, test podcast. But I think it's going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. More and more people are getting into video. I think that's fun. If you got the budget and the time, do it. But I also know that I can't watch your video in the car. I can't watch your video while I'm washing dishes. You know, there's a little more opportunity to listen to a podcast. But if you've got the budget and the time, I would use the video to make shorts to promote the long version of either the video or the audio.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It's going to keep going up.
Do you want to sound your absolute best when you're being interviewed on a podcast or when you're hosting your own show? I have a podcast episode and free downloadable worksheet called Sounding Your Best as a Podcast Guest off of the audiobrandingpodcast.com main page. Just click on the little square graphic to the left of the player displaying my podcast trailer. It gives you some comprehensive suggestions for where to start or for improving the sound you already have, including the type of microphones to consider and why, ideas for soundproofing your recording environment, and suggestions on how to get the best sound when you're being remotely recorded on services like Riverside FM or Squadcast. Don't let bad audio quality hold you back from being the best podcast guest or host you can be. And of course, if you happen to need voiceover for your intro and outro, feel free to get in touch. I'm happy to help. And now, back to the podcast.
When I talk about YouTube and having a video, and we've only started putting video together for this podcast for like from 150, I think. At the 150th mm-hmm. episode, we actually, Todd Cochran was the first one that was on video. So, nice. Yeah. So, we only started it then. We were doing a little bit of it before doing shorts, like you were saying. But I always think that YouTube is more for discoverability than it is for actually listening, because I think that it's a completely different audience. The people on YouTube are not the same people that would be listening to the podcast in whatever podcast app they have. They wouldn't discover it.
Yeah, very much so. Because people say, oh, I want to take my podcast to the next level by adding video. And I go, really what you're doing is you're adding a YouTube channel. And my favorite was, I need to get back to YouTube. I kind of took a hiatus for way too long on YouTube. But I remember I had somebody join the School of Podcasting and she said, oh, you do audio stuff too? And I was like, wow, that's because there are people that live and breathe on YouTube and that's all they do 24/7 is YouTube. And they have other people that all they do is listen to audio. And so I don't think you're going to get a lot of crossplay, but you'll definitely grow a different audience. But it'll be people that, you know, that like that kind of stuff. But that was when I was like, yeah, I do a little audio every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does demonstrate just how different the audience is. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And you also need to bring just an ever so, you know, just a slightly thicker layer of skin on YouTube, because they'll let you know if they don't like you. And on an audio podcast, they'll just swipe left and delete. In YouTube, they'll be happy on their way out the door to go, you stink, man. So yeah. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, yeah. The trolling. The trolling, yeah. Is something else. Definitely. So what are you working on now that you can talk about?
I'm actually getting ready to record. I should be in like podcast jail. I have a book called Profit from Your Podcast, and one would think that there would be an audio version of that. Oh. And there was kind of supposed to be, but it never really happened. And which is nice, because the book's been out 2-3 years now. And so I'm going to start recording an audio version of that. And then what's nice is there are things that have happened in the last couple of years that I can now have kind of bonus content.
Nice.
For that. But yeah, it's always been on the list of like, oh, and when I get done with this, I'm going to start the book. And then it'd be like, okay, well, when I get done with this, then I'm going to do the audio book. And I finally was just like, okay, enough of this. This is embarrassing that the podcast guy doesn't have an audio version of his book.
Well, you know, I mean, it happens. I actually totally get it because I know that there are a lot of people that I know that are voice talent, actually, who have books out, who have not done their own. I mean, I yeah. get it. So it does happen, definitely. What do they say? The cobbler doesn't have shoes, or like
yeah, the cobbler's kids doesn't have yeah. shoes, or something
yeah,
like that.
Something yeah. like that. I can't even remember. But yeah, so how can people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, my main website is schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you just want all things Dave, if you go to powerofpodcasting.com, that's one of those lovely link tree kind of looking things that it's like, here's everything I do, pick from that. But my main hub is schoolofpodcasting.com.
Wonderful. And is there anything that you want to leave us with that you think podcasters should know before we end today?
It's kind of a joke, but it's not. When you start a podcast, you're either going to have a great podcast or a great story about that time when you started a podcast. I did stand-up comedy for the first time ever because the guy that was supposed to do it didn't show up, and they're like, hey, like, can go be funny. And I was like, oh, I had like 2 days to figure this out. And I wasn't as bad as I thought I was going to be, but I have a really good story about that time when I had to go do stand-up. So, you know, in the end, we have a running joke at the School of Podcasting that nobody's going to punch you in the face. So if they don't like your stuff, you know, there's no harm done. They'll just swipe left and hit delete. So you don't have to be, I'll end with the immortal Zig Ziglar. Did you ever listen to Zig Ziglar growing up? You don't have to be good to start, but you do have to start. Or no, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great. So start, doggone it.
That's a very good thing to end on. Yes. Thank you so much, Dave. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks, Jody.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.